Broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. We've learned that a school teacher near Portland, Oregon, appears to have found the door plug that broke off that Alaska Airlines flight last week in his backyard. The decompression event caused the cockpit door to rip open. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy says, though, the plane is still airworthy.
There is no structural damage to the aircraft. Again, I want to repeat, no structural damage to the aircraft. That damage on the inside, that's just interior paneling, trim. It has nothing to do with the structure of the aircraft and airframe itself.
It's award season in Hollywood.
There's always one film that cleans up at award shows, and at the Golden Globes on CBS, Oppenheimer was it.
This is the most important thing to ever happen in the history of the world.
The movie about the father of the atomic bomb won 5 awards, including Best Drama. Cillian Murphy took home the Globe for Best Actor.
Thank you for carrying me and holding me through this movie.
And Robert Downey Jr. won for Best Supporting Actor. Christopher Nolan won his first ever Golden Globe for Best Director.
I can only except it's on behalf of people.
And the film also took home the award for Best Original Score. Jen Clark, CBS News.
A multi-million dollar fraud trial against top NRA officials, including Wayne LaPierre, is set to begin today in New York. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum has more.
That's what the attorney general is alleging, that LaPierre and associates diverted funds for personal gain.
LaPierre just announced his resignation after decades as head of the gun lobbying group. At Cape Canaveral in Florida.
5, 4, 3. We have ignition and liftoff.
The first U.S. lunar lander in more than 50 years is headed to the moon on board United Launch Alliance's Vulcan rocket. Astrobotic Technology hopes to be the first private company to land on the moon. Republican and Democratic leaders have reached an agreement on spending levels through the end of the fiscal year. Now lawmakers must write the funding bills before the deadline when agencies start running out of money. CBS's Nicole Killian.
We do have a statement from both Senate and House Democrats, including Leader Chuck Schumer and Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, who welcomed this deal and said that they do hope that this averts a government shutdown.
The man who leapfrogged over a defense table and then a court bench to attack a judge in Las Vegas will appear before that very same judge this afternoon. The judge, Mary Kay Halfis, suffered some injuries, but was back to work the next day. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he doesn't support efforts to keep Donald Trump off the presidential primary ballot in Wisconsin. The Democratic governor tells the Journal Sentinel that doing that would only anger the Republicans' base and justify Trump's claims the deck is stacked against him. 41 public schools in Milwaukee are tearing up playground asphalt and replacing it with trees and native plants. Kids get some relief on hot days.
There's often not very many areas of shade, if any, on these urban schoolyards. There's not a lot of things to naturally do.
Lisa Neeb is with Reflow, the nonprofit which is helping with the project. She says grades go up and behavior problems go down when kids have recess in more natural settings. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Chicago Bears 17-9 at Lambeau Field and punched their ticket to the playoffs. Green Bay heads to Dallas this week to face head coach Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys Sunday afternoon at 3:30. Is there any question now that Jordan Love is the legit replacement for Aaron Rodgers at quarterback? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
I don't think there's many questions left, to be honest with you. He's just got to continue to do what he's been doing. I think great things are in store for him.
Packers receiver Dontavian Wicks with 6 catches for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns on how Jordan Love has improved.
It was early in the season. We didn't have that chemistry, like I said. So he just had to get that feeling. The last couple weeks, you know, he'd been on his A game.
Bears have now lost to the Packers 10 times in a row. Quarterback Justin Fields on the Bears' 7-10 season.
Of course, it was a lot of ups and downs. You know, I grew a lot, learned a lot this year, and, you know, I think it's going to do nothing but help me in the future.
That's Bears quarterback Justin Fields with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Wisconsin Rapids weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, look for mostly cloudy skies and a low near 23. Clouds on your Monday, breezy 33, and still breezy for Monday night with some snow likely, an inch or so of accumulation and a low of 29. Tuesday, more snow, a few more inches possible. Right now, it's 28.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our fill-in producer, the outstanding Mr. Sam Davison on the board. It is Friday, TGIF, January 5th, 2024. Now 6 past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in on what turned out to be a bright and sunny day. High here atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome into the show. And yes, Mr. Zahmer, we talked about this yesterday. Mr. Zahmer's, he actually, when Luke Mathers was here, they both had a shade of gray. And I'm not talking about 50 shades of gray, but they had a shade of gray and not looking well. And Mr. Zahmer is feeling very under the weather. And it's just better.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, but just better to stay home and take care of yourself.
That's true. That's true.
And so in his stead, we have the fine producer of our very own show here. We worked together on Pat Kreitlow's show.
That's right.
Up North News when he's been on vacation, when I filled in there. And then you also are on the morning show here in Madison. It is our wonderful producer, Sam Davison. Sam,
hello.
How are you, Sam?
I'm good. I'm doing well.
It's great. Thank you so much for doing this on very short notice. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm glad to do it. Glad to be here.
You've been up early. As I said, what time do you get up to do the morning show?
My alarm is usually set for like 4:40.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I remember I used to be like the sign-on guy in the afternoon or the weekends up at WRCO Richland Center one time. It takes some getting used to.
Yeah, it does.
Tell folks a little bit, because I think this is great. Like Mr. Zahmer's, you're a young person, which is fantastic. But tell folks where you're from, where you went to school.
I'm originally from Wausau area, a tiny little town called Ringle. Oh. I went to school in Stevens Point for a while and then transferred down here to Madison. And I just graduated from there this past spring.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
A Wisconsin Badger through and through.
I am.
That's nothing better than having my two godsons are both graduates of UW-Madison. So
oh, nice.
I never had the ability to get – I went to Platteville, which is a fine school, but never had the grade point to get into UW. Mm. So I had to live vicariously through my godsons. But you lived the dream. You're a Badger.
I did. And now I'm still here, still in Madison.
Do you like Madison?
I do, yeah. It's a nice town.
It's a cool town. Well, Sam, welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be here. It's going to be a great show today. Speaking of Badgers, Sam, we have another alum of UW-Madison, Brady Ewing from Richland Center, Wisconsin, a former three-time, or not former, once you are, a three-time Big Ten champion for Wisconsin Badger football, captain of the team along with Russell Wilson back in that fabulous Rose Bowl year. Brady's been to played in three Rose Bowls, and also spent 3 years in the NFL, better known as the league, for both Atlanta and Jacksonville. So Brady's going to be along. We're going to kind of look back at the Wisconsin Bowl game, the prestigious ReliaQuest Bowl. It was good for a minute. They looked good for a minute, and then they just couldn't pull it out. So Brady and I will review that a bit, but more importantly, look forward to 2024 for the Wisconsin Badger football team. Talk a little Badger basketball as well. Badgers got a nice win over Iowa this week. I was there. And they take on the evil Nebraska Cornhuskers tomorrow.
Evil, huh?
I don't particularly like their fans. I mean, their volleyball team called the Fieldhouse the Dungeon. And I had the unfortunate displeasure of sitting next to some Cornhusker fans in Camp Randall a few years ago when Nebraska was here. And they were just obnoxious. Now, Brady, we've talked about, Brady has said that for his money, having played at Nebraska, that they were actually some of the nicest fans when he went there. So,
well,
it depends.
Two sides of a coin, I suppose.
Right?
Yeah.
Depends on your perspective. But anyway, Brady will be along. We'll talk a little bit of Packers as well. And, don't let me forget, Sam, I've got a cut of one of the Bears. Talk a little smack about Green Bay. We're going to play that and get Brady's comments as well.
I'm excited to hear this now.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, the Bears have no room to be bragging right now, in my opinion. So we'll talk about that with Brady. And then in hour number two, our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World is going to stop by. We're going to have a week or holiday season in review. These are actual headlines, things that actually happened, and we're going to review them with Peter Rapine at 1:30 in hour two. So all that coming up on the big show and your phone calls as well. So glad to have you along on this 5th of January, 2024. Was listening to the lovely and talented Jane Matt Nair of the great new program, Matt Nair on the Air, along with Greg Bach. And they were talking about this last hour. We're going to pick up on it a little bit this hour. Jane and Greg did a great job looking back on the, will tomorrow be the third anniversary of January 6th, the attempted coup and insurrection on the United States government. And you say, Todd, well, let's just move on. You know what? Why are you bringing this back up? Well, I'm so glad that Jane did it on her show last hour, and I want to continue it on our show because I always believe that it's good not to forget history. Matt Flynn talks about it on his program, the importance of history. If we don't remember the facts and what happened, as the old saying goes, we're destined to repeat those mistakes. Also, people died on January 6th. I think sometimes we forget that. All right. There were Capitol Police officers defending democracy and the halls of democracy who were killed by insurrectionists. I follow Scott McFarland of CBS News on the socials, as they say. He has done a stellar job of covering the hundreds of court cases of people who have gone through and been convicted and sentenced to jail, many of them, for their actions on January 6th. And remember, it was the first time since the Civil War that the Confederate flag was walked through the hallowed halls of the United States Capitol. I don't believe since the Civil War, I mean, certainly there was a greater number of lives lost at Pearl Harbor and in World War II. There were a greater number of lives lost at the World Trade Center and in the fields of Pennsylvania and at the Pentagon on 9/11. But in terms of a threat to our actual democracy, I don't think there's been a bit larger threat to democracy since the Civil War to this country. And so I think it's very appropriate that we stand back for a moment and think about this. So I want to begin by looking back at the words of former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger from just south of here in Illinois, northern Illinois. He is a veteran. He is still in the Air National Guard. He was one of two Republican members of the bipartisan January 6th committee. It was he and Liz Cheney. And I want to start off of words from Adam Kinzinger at the start of the January 6th committee. Here's what a Republican says about what happened on January 6th.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Loria. 1 week after the attack, Republican leader Kevin McCarthy acknowledged the simple truth. President Trump should have acted immediately to stop the violence. During our investigation, General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, also remarked on the president's failure to act. Let's hear what they had to say. The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters. He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding. These facts require immediate action by President Trump.
Yeah. Hey, the Commander-in-Chief, you got an assault going on the capital of the United States of America. And there's nothing. No call, nothing, zero.
Like my colleague from Virginia, I'm a veteran. I served in the Air Force, and I serve currently in the Air National Guard. I can tell you that General Milley's reaction to President Trump's conduct is 100% correct, and so was Leader McCarthy's. What explains President Trump's behavior? Why did he not take immediate action in a time of crisis? Because President Trump's plan for January 6th was to halt or delay Congress's official proceeding to count the votes. The mob attacked the Capitol quick. The mob attacking the Capitol quickly caused the evacuation of both the House and the Senate. The count ground to an absolute halt and was ultimately delayed for hours. The mob was accomplishing President Trump's purpose, so of course he didn't intervene. Here's what will be clear by the end of this hearing. President Trump did not fail to act during the 187 minutes between leaving the ellipse and telling the mob to go home. He chose not to act. But there were hundreds that day who honored their oaths and put their lives on the line to protect the people inside the Capitol and to safeguard our democracy. Many of them are here tonight with us, and many more are watching from home. As you already know, and we'll see again tonight, their service and sacrifice shines a bright light on President Trump's dishonor and dereliction of duty. I yield to the vice chair.
Dishonor and dereliction of duty. That is the assessment of Donald Trump from Republican Adam Kinzinger, also a veteran and a member of the Air National Guard. Let's go quickly to the phones, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling. What say you? Jack, are you there? You're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Go right ahead, Jack.
All right. Well, this is the problem. Too many Americans by far have been convinced of one of the following about January 6th. This was a normal tourist visit at which a few got out of hand. It wasn't. About 1,000, a little under 1,000 now, have been convicted. That shows it wasn't. There might have been an incident, but it wasn't very serious. It was very, very serious. Hang Mike Pence with gallows already constructed, among other obviously planned actions like the electoral fraudsters. Those who participated in the violence were patriots, and the election result was fraudulent. Yeah, really? Lost over 60 mostly evidence-free court cases claiming that? Recounts, audits, fraudits, too numerous to mention, certification by all 50 states, over half of which are in Republican hands? I don't think so.
Yeah.
These lies have been broadcast by Fox News and similar outlets and repeatedly claimed by the Republican so-called leadership. Where's the Democratic Party and Democratic leadership? They should have been refuting this, along with repeated clips of the Capitol violence on every media outlet that would accept them every single day, starting January 7th. Instead, what's happening? Right-leaning independents and even some so-called centrists have been bombarded with these lies without refutation for about 3 years.
Yep.
Some of them actually believe them, along with the repeated lies about the Biden administration. Apparently, about half the voters say they'll vote for Trump. Democratic inactions, along with this bombardment of lies from the fascist right, they've endangered democracy.
Jack, great Democrats call. I'm up against the break. I'm up against the clock. I got to cut you off, Jack. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere. From Liz Cheney next on Tunnelball.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. you could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, January 5th, 2024, along with Sam Davidson filling in for Mr. Zomers, who is hopefully recovering, resting, recuperating. Glad to have Sam here with us on this Friday afternoon. Appreciate him being here on short notice. Appreciate you. Didn't mean to cut Jack off there. He was on a roll. I agreed with every single thing that Jack said. But, you know, when the clock strikes, I don't have any control over it. So we had to cut away there for a second. I agree that and this is why we're doing this segment. I know it's why our friend and colleague Jay Matinere of the great new program Matinere on the Air right before ours was doing this segment as well. Bringing this subject up, remembering what happened, remembering the truth and the facts of what happened. Because we are now less than a week away from the Iowa caucuses where the first votes will be cast for president of the United States in 2024. And by all polls and by all accounts, Donald Trump is going to win this running away a week from Tuesday, unless something dramatically changes. But Donald Trump is far and away the front runner to be the nominee of the Republican Party this year. And it seems like too many people have already forgotten what happened 3 years ago. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Go ahead, welcome to the show. What's your first name, please? Hello?
Hi, Doug.
Oh, Jay. Jay, it's you. Sure. Jay from London across the pond. Always a pleasure. Jay, we had a bad connection there, but what say you? Go ahead.
What says me is Todd, but the Republican Party is broken. I don't think anybody can fix this.
Well, and I think that's the point that our friend Trigvy Olson has made on the show on Wednesday, is the Lincoln Project, the others have made, is that, you know, Paul Ryan's making this point. I mean, Paul Ryan's making the point that you cannot be the party of Trump and also be the Republican Party. The two are not.
And the Constitution.
Right. And so I think you're right. I mean, people have to decide whether it's going to be the Republican Party of Lincoln and Eisenhower and Reagan and Tommy Thompson and Paul Ryan, or whether it's going to be the MAGA Party of Trump. You can't have both.
Can I confess to you, my brother?
Sure.
Anytime, I'm not planning to come to the United States, but anytime I'm ready, my son has finished everything that he's doing, I said, I'm going to the United States. I'll be calling you. You will be holding my hands. You will take me to Liz Cheney. I don't know whether she's working or not, but I will be happily working for Liz Cheney, even to hold her bag.
Right.
That woman, she needs something.
No,
unbelievable.
I really appreciate you saying that, Jay, because timely indeed, as Mike Lucas would say, because we have a clip here I want to play for everyone of Liz Cheney. Thanks for the call, Jay. Have a great day over there in London. Always appreciate your listenership. A great segue here, because here now is Liz Cheney, former Republican congresswoman from Wyoming, of course, the daughter of the former vice president, Dick Cheney. No one's going to accuse the Cheneys of being snowflakes or soft on anything, right? They're conservative Republicans. I forget the number, the percentage. But Liz Cheney says, look, I voted with Donald Trump when he was in office on policy 90-some percent of the time. But here's what Liz Cheney had to say as one of two Republicans on the bipartisan January 6th committee who, after looking at hours of video, hours of sworn under oath testimony, this is the conclusion that Liz Cheney came up with.
Every president in our history has defended this orderly transfer of authority, except one. January 6th, 2021 was the first time one American president refused his constitutional duty to transfer power peacefully to the next. In our work over the last 18 months, the Select Committee has recognized our obligation to do everything we can to ensure this never happens again. At the beginning of our investigation, we understood that tens of millions of Americans had been persuaded by President Trump that the 2020 election was stolen by overwhelming fraud. And we also knew this was flatly false. We knew that dozens of state and federal judges had addressed and resolved all manner of allegations about the election. Our legal system functioned as it should, but our president would not accept the outcome. Among the most shameful of this committee's findings was that President Trump sat in the dining room off the Oval Office watching the violent riot at the Capitol on television. For hours, he would not issue a public statement instructing his supporters to disperse and leave the Capitol, despite urgent pleas from his White House staff and dozens of others to do so. Members of his family, his White House lawyers, virtually all those around him knew that this simple act was critical. For hours, he would not do it. During this time, law enforcement agents were attacked and seriously injured. The Capitol was invaded, the electoral count was halted, and the lives of those in the Capitol were put at risk. In addition to being unlawful, as described in our report, this was an utter moral failure and a clear dereliction of duty. Evidence of this can be seen in the testimony of President Trump's own White House counsel and several other White House witnesses. No man who would behave that way at that moment in time can ever serve in any position of authority in our nation again. He is unfit for any office.
There is the word, there are the words of Liz Cheney, former Republican congressman of Wyoming, daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, declaring after looking at all the evidence that Donald Trump is unfit for office. We've had people call into the show, and look, I respect everyone's opinion, right? Everyone has a right to their opinion. And we had a really thoughtful caller the other day, and I think on Wednesday, and said, well, what are you so afraid of? What are you afraid of Donald Trump being back in office? I think that Adam Kinzinger and now Liz Cheney, they laid it right out there. That after, and my opinion is formed only on the public information I have, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, two Republicans, they saw all the sworn testimony that the public didn't see. Liz Cheney, I think I can speak for her, would rather not see a Democrat in the White House, policy-wise. It would be easy for her to be a partisan and say, well, let's just go along with Trump. I mean, that's what Steve Scalise right now in the Congress is doing. Tom Emmon from Minnesota, the leadership of the House Republicans, they're going the easy way. They're just endorsing Trump, knowing that it may give them their best chance to get the White House back. But at least Liz Cheney is putting in one case, saying, you know what, as much as I enjoy politics and like conservative policy, democracy and saving our country is actually more important. I agree with Jay from London. I give Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger props. And although I wish Paul Ryan would have stepped up sooner, I give Paul Ryan props for standing up now and saying that he is a never again Trumper and will not even attend the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee if Trump is the nominee. Liz Cheney is right. Donald Trump is unfit for office based on the actions of January 6th alone. We remember that day 3 years ago, and we think of those lives who are lost. We're going to come back, talk to the fantastic Brady Ewing on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Actress Lily Gladstone makes history as the first indigenous person to win an award at the Golden Globes. She took home Best Actress in a Drama on CBS for her role in Killers of the Flower Moon.
This is for every little Rez kid, every little urban kid, every little Native kid out there who has a dream.
The FAA keeping hundreds of Boeing 737 MAX 9 planes grounded. CBS News Travel Editor Peter Greenberg.
The investigation will go back to the assembly line at Boeing to see if there was something systemic that happened during the assembly line that may be applying to other airplanes.
A fraud trial against top NRA leaders, including Wayne LaPierre, begins in New York today. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The lawsuit is intended to recoup some of the millions that LaPierre and his cohorts are alleged to have spent on vacations and other questionable expenditures unrelated to the NRA.
LaPierre has announced he's resigning from the organization. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two consultants hired to analyze new legislative maps for Wisconsin will be paid as much as $100,000 each in taxpayer money. Terms of their contracts were just made public. The state Supreme Court has ruled the old maps unconstitutional. Wisconsin state troopers are enlisting truckers and other commercial drivers to help fight human trafficking. The state patrol trains them to look out for warning signs potential victims may be sending out.
A lot of times these victims could be, you know, appearing fearful, submissive, timid in some cases. There might also be signs that their movement is, or at the very least has been, controlled.
Trooper Sean Bryan of the State Patrol. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The D3s.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The Throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Tonight.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
We have some snow on the way starting late this afternoon into this evening and continuing through tomorrow into tomorrow night. About 2 to 4 inches of accumulation possible by the time it wraps up, with wind, especially tomorrow night, creating areas of blowing snow. Today, cloudy, snow developing late this afternoon into this evening. Our high today, 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations. Like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for News Talk and Sports, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
to the Tahlball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, January 5th. Nicely done. We have Sam Davidson in on the board, filling in for a under-the-weather Mr. Zomers. And thank you, Sam. Appreciate that. If we hear Eric Church and Springsteen, it means only one thing, and that is our friend and ongoing contributor, Mr. Brady Ewing, originally from the same hometown as myself in southwest Wisconsin, Richland Center. He is a three-time Big Ten champion, played in three Rose Bowls, and was the captain, along with Russell Wilson and others, of the football team while he was there, and then spent 3 years in, as they say, the league, the NFL, for both Atlanta and Jacksonville. Brady, thanks so much for joining us and taking the time joining us via phone. How the heck are you? Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year. Doing fantastic. Getting some office time here for work today, getting caught up from a busy week, and look forward to a great weekend.
That's great. I think maybe our parents live about a house apart, but I was gone. I was on the road a lot this holiday season, Brady. So how were your holidays?
They were fantastic. Yeah, ton of good family time with Rachel and myself and the boys here, but also a lot of extended family too. So got all of the my brothers and sisters kids together. We actually have a family celebration for Rachel's side next weekend to get all of her family together.
So oh, nice.
Still ongoing and enjoying it.
We talked a little bit about this last time. You and your lovely wife, Rachel, four boys. I'm still convinced you're trying to create your own Wisconsin Badger line and bring back the running back position or the fullback position single-handedly. How are the boys? Did they enjoy their Santa Claus gifts? Did they have a good holiday season?
Oh, they did. Yeah, they loved it. You know, we talked about it, like you said, but trying to keep them focused on the joy that Christmas is outside of just the gifts and what we believe, you know, that season's all about. And they definitely appreciate that too, but they love the gifts. They love the new toys. They've been keeping them busy, and it was definitely a transition to try to get them back into the school routine.
What's the hot gift for a young boy these days? What is it they want? I mean, I just saw something this morning, the Stanley Cup. Like all the middle school, the high school kids want the Stanley thermal mugs in multiple colors. That's the hot thing this year. What do young boys
really
want? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, man. My boys are unique. A little bit. I feel like they're really into survival stuff. So by that, like messing around outside, trying to set traps and snares to catch squirrels and, you know, just anything outdoors really, but right. Also they get some Legos and Magna tiles, things like that. So they like all sorts of stuff. They're super appreciative of whatever it is.
Well, I'm glad for the heads up because, you know, if I'm cutting mom's lawn or whatever, I'll make the boys might just, well, let's snare Todd. Let's catch him up. They probably get a big kick out of that, you know.
They probably would. Yeah. They haven't had much success yet, but they're learning. Right.
Well, good for them.
Once in a while we'll watch YouTube videos and all that. And how to do it, because I'm still learning too.
Well, that's great. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Brady. The Wisconsin Badger football team could not snare a victory in the always prestigious ReliaQuest Bowl. And it is a pretty good bowl. It's January 1st. It used to be the Hall of Fame, but then for a long time, the Outback Bowl. I just don't understand ReliaQuest. I think it's a goofy name, but that's a, you know, sponsorship thing. But I thought that the first half, I watched the first half, and I'm like, holy crap. I mean, these guys are great. I thought Tanner Mordecai, the quarterback for Wisconsin, left it all in the field. There were some really great moments in that game, but ultimately LSU came back and Wisconsin just kind of fell apart in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It was incredibly entertaining.
It was, right?
Awesome. It was. See the offense come out and, man, the pass game was clicking. And, you know, that was complemented well with the run game, even though we're kind of short on some depth there with Allen sitting out and Ches Malusi, you know, still out on injury. So it was good to see that balance. The first half, it was super exciting, kind of, I would say, lived up to the expectations I had somewhat all season and I'm sure others. But, you know, second half came out and LSU clearly stepped up their game. Defense was, you know, on their heels a little bit throughout the game. And, I felt like we got worn down a little bit. I don't know if that's a conditioning thing or if it was just that level of play. You know, they hadn't really sustained that all season, so just tough to, you know, sustain it throughout a game. But yeah, definitely LSU came out to play in the second half and we couldn't maintain. But still, I'd say I'm optimistic with what I saw and, you know, some of the production out there. So it's good to see.
So, well, I'm glad to hear that because what I tweeted out afterwards and I said, you know, to me there were great moments of potential, but also I saw kind of great moments of potential disaster for 2024. I mean, we're playing Alabama and Oregon next year, Brady. I didn't see a team on January 1st that could beat either one of those two teams.
Yeah, they got a long ways to go, and we've talked about it a lot. I think there's, you know, the culture piece of it, which in college athletics, when you have kids for, I guess I would usually say 4 to 5 years. Now, you know, it's 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big part of it. And especially I think it's going to continue to ring true as you bring in transfers from other schools that you have to have an established culture within the locker room, on the practice field, within the whole football program that these kids can come into and transfer from a Miami or wherever they may be transferring in from and know immediately what the Wisconsin football culture is all about and what those expectations are that come along with it. So I think that takes time to establish and to kind of figure out, even with the new coaching staff, on what that looks like at a different university from a social aspect, an academic aspect, and then, you know, on the field as well. So still optimistic, but good things take time. And, you know, hopefully Alabama is going to be a challenge whether we're right. ready to compete at that level or not. So
I want to pick up.
It's going to be really cool to see those helmets, those uniforms, and that program in Camp Randall Stadium.
Right.
So that's going to be awesome.
I mean, Nick Saban on the field at the Camp Randall. I mean, my gosh, that's pretty cool. But I want to go back to a second what you said on the culture and not Chaz Malusi, the quarterback. Good gosh, Todd. Tanner Mordecai. I was having a senior moment there. Sorry about that. Tanner Mordecai, the quarterback, who himself is a transfer. And he said after the game, you know, his eligibility is up even with the COVID year. He's done. He's going to try to go to the NFL. But, you know, he said, you know, a lot of people are calling out Coach Fick on social. And he really kind of went after people a little bit. I mean, I didn't think too far. But basically he said, you know, this is a really good program and a really good culture. And they're going somewhere. And also Chez Malusi, that's why I have Chez Malusi. You know, he had this terrible injury and hurt himself, was out for the rest of the year. He is, you know, he could go to the portal. He said he's coming back. So, I mean, it appears to be that maybe Coach Fickell and maybe they're starting to create that culture. What's your sense of someone who played at Wisconsin and is at least, you've been there for at least one practice, right, under Coach Fickell and worked with Ackerman a little bit. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I got to believe that with his background, you know, the philosophies that he's teaching, the coaches he has there, that they're heading the right direction. It's not an overnight thing. It's gonna take time. But to get somebody like Tanner Mordecai, I think he's been with two other programs, SMU and maybe Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a guy that's lived it, right? He's lived the NIL. He's lived different programs. He's transferred in. For him to say that, and having just gone through what he's gone through with his basically last year of college football, you know, I think that's more telling than anything. So hopefully it's not just lip speak, but based on everything I've seen in the past from these coaches and then even in this year with kind of the roller coaster of a year and challenges and kind of, I would say, didn't live up to necessarily the expectations that everybody had internally and externally, I still think things are optimistic.
Well, of course, you know, early this year, we both said Wisconsin go undefeated. So that those predictions from Todd did not turn out well. You understand?
Put my foot in the mouth on that one.
Well, I think I bought in. And my friends, you know, people know me will say, well, Todd, you work in marketing and communication. No one buys into marketing hype more than Toddy. And I bought right into it. So, but, you know, what what I like about Wisconsin basketball, to change gears for a second, and we're talking with Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion for Wisconsin football, also spent 3 years in the NFL. And Brady, I was at the game earlier this week against Iowa, and a little bit rough for first half, but looked pretty good in the second half and pulled out a nice win there at the Kohl Center. They take on the evil Nebraska Cornhuskers. I just don't like their fans. I know they're nice people, but anyway, Nebraska comes to town tomorrow. You can hear the game right here on the Civic Media app or also on the Badger Radio Network if you live in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin Rapids, or Amory. What's your take? I mean, the Badgers have been pretty low-key, very unlike the football program. They're just this quiet confidence. Bo Ryan said, former coach at the beginning of the year after going to some practices, he said, quote, "These guys are going to be good." No, very good. And I thought, you know, for Bo to say that, he doesn't hand out. I mean, when he was in Platteville and I was doing games there, you know, he'd always start the season by saying, you know, "We'll be lucky to win 20 games." You know, and then they won national championships. So what's your take on Wisconsin basketball?
I love it. I think that mentality from Bo Ryan, the great guard, you know, they've brought in a couple key transfers from the transfer portal, brought in some good young talent. There's a lot of good talent with how deep they are that's sitting on the bench.
So AJ Storr, how about him? Holy cow.
Man, he's special. I mean, right? Just his ability to, with court vision, his, you know, his skill level, his athleticism, that guy, super excited to see what he's doing and where he's going to continue to take the team. He reminds me a little bit of, you know, maybe even a better Johnny Davis.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I think you're right.
We'll see how he continues to develop. But yeah, it's, I love to see it. I love the under radar approach, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I know that programs are having to evolve on, you know, that marketing piece, with coaching changes, with the name, image, likeness, with the transfer stuff. You know, that's evolving the way that they market, but it hasn't changed much on the basketball program yet. So I like that under the radar thing, you know, let your play do the talking. And they've game in and game out competed with some of the best talent in the country and won the games that they're expected to win. So, you know, they're going to be on radars pretty darn quick if they continue to win. I think they're 20th in the country right now, give or take. Yep.
10-3, the record.
Yeah, and a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, no, they look great. About a minute and a half left here before the first break, Brady, and Brady Ewing joining us as he does about every other Friday. What's your take on Connor Seigen? He was a phenom last year as a freshman. It was the, you know, shooting those three pointers, and by all accounts, a great guy. You know, active in the community with fans, a fan favorite. He has just struggled this year, and he did not get on the floor against Iowa this week until like a minute 30 left in the game. And my heart just goes out to the guy. And the discussion I had with my friends that were there was, you know, Coach Gardner said, look, we can't afford to let him play through his defensive mistakes right now and learn on the floor in a game. But Brady, as a player, how else do you get through that?
Yeah, I mean, practice is one thing. You do so much at the college level in practice, putting you in game-like situations. But at the end of the day, especially with the depth that they have right now, it's tough to put somebody out there that's struggling both on, you know, defensive side. You know, Coach Gar's called that out, but they've also called out some of his cold streak on the offensive side without outside shooting, which is really his, you know, mainstay of contribution.
Yeah.
And so with how deep they are, it's, you know, that's a blessing and a curse, because I think we might have talked about it a few weeks ago or a month ago. You know, that's my fear with him and a couple others on that team that are really good.
Yep.
They could probably find somewhere pretty quick to be a contributor and see more minutes. So
he's got to be in the portal after this season for sure, right?
I hope not.
I hope not too.
I like the way Coach Gard has handled it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he's having individual conversations with Connor, but he's also talking about it in the media a little bit,
which I hope
that sends a consistent message to the players.
I hope for Connor Seigen he can pull it together, because I think he's a great guy and a great player. I hope he stays at Wisconsin. Stay right here. More with Brady Ewing next on the Todd Allball Show. You're listening to the Civic Media's Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile.
Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead us. And also having fun doing it. Sorry, a little stutter step there on the grass of the field. Welcome back to the show. I'm Todd Allball on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome back in. I was stuttering there for a second. Brady, we're joined by Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion for Wisconsin Badger football, captain of the team, along with Russell Wilson for a year, and then spent 3 years in the NFL. Brady, I was doing two things at once, which I just can't do anymore, and I was trying to find a tweet by your former teammate, J.J. Watt. And I want to get your comment on this, your thoughts on this. J.J. tweeted out on January 1st, he said, quote, "I played in every single NFL stadium and walked on a lot of grass in my 34 years on this earth. Rose Bowl Field is the nicest piece of grass I've ever stepped foot on." Then someone said, "Well, what makes it so special and different?" He said, "The thickness, the firmness, length of the cut, the color, the lusciousness, and a very healthy dose of atmosphere and nostalgia." Brady Ewing, you played three games on the Rose Bowl turf. What say you?
Sorry, what was the last part you said?
I just said you played three games on the Rose Bowl turf. What say you? What are your thoughts on playing at the Rose Bowl?
I would say JJ's 100% spot on. That turf, when we played on it, was absolutely fantastic. It was, I mean, he hit the nail on the head. The length of it was perfect. The consistency, as far as, you know, some of the nice fields like that can be really loose and easy to tear up and kind of give way when you give a hard plant on them. You know, the firmness, the consistency, it was almost like a manicured putting green. If I were maybe a little bit longer to draw a correlation to anything, maybe like a beautifully manicured fringe on a golf course.
Very cool.
And yeah, it was amazing. Although I think last year, not to be big negative Debbie Downer, but I think last year, didn't the Rose Bowl have a bunch of issues?
I think there were a few. I think there was a lot of rain or something right beforehand. So, I mean, I think they had an off year. They're human like everybody else.
That's right. But the story I heard is that they grow that turf or do that turf specifically for the Rose Bowl. Year round somewhere, and then transport it in and somehow put it down. I don't know if that is any truth to that, but I remember when we were discussing it, when we played there, how awesome it was.
Yeah.
There was somebody from UW that was giving us more background on how it's grown, who grows it, where it's grown, and a pretty cool story for a prestigious game like that to have just an amazing setting with the mountains in the background, the sunset. It was just an awesome game. It was so fun to watch.
I've had the opportunity to be there three times, and there's just, from a spectator's standpoint, there is nothing else like it in the world. If you ever get a chance, even if Wisconsin's not there, just go to the Rose Bowl once. It is magical. I want to move on to the NFL for a second, Brady. We're going to talk about the Packers in a second, but I want to get your quick take, because you did spend that season, the one season that Russell Wilson was at Wisconsin. You were his teammate. You were co-captain with him. You know him pretty well.
Yeah.
What's your take on this controversy in Denver, where the Denver Broncos apparently came to him after like only 18 months of negotiating his contract and said, you need to get rid of the clause that says we pay you even if you get hurt, or else we're going to bench you. Then they beat Kansas City unexpectedly. They let him play, And now they've benched him, and it looks like it's going to be a divorce between Russell Wilson and the Broncos. It just seems bizarre to me.
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, you haven't, or I haven't seen anything like that, man, since really ever.
Yeah.
It's pretty much unprecedented with a guy that's actually having a pretty darn good season.
Mm.
It makes me wonder, you know, if there's deeper issues going on internally there at the Broncos, and specifically probably with Sean Payton and Russell, and just, you know, maybe some controversy there. But I get it. I mean, and I've lived it. That is a business. The NFL is a business. And if they're going to save themselves, you know, the potential of, you know, millions and millions of dollars and a ton of cap space, and to have him sit on the bench and not risk getting injured, as silly as that sounds. I mean, we talked about guys sitting out the bowl games for, you know, to stay healthy for the, you know, the NFL draft. It's a similar move just on the other side. You know, if they're going to part ways with him anyway, and they're going to be responsible for some money to give him guaranteed, why not limit their risk and have him sit out? Just the fact that he's having a pretty darn good year, and they're, I think, still in the running for playoffs from what I know, it's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe, and based on largely things that, you know, you've told me a little bit about him, just being his teammate, he seems to me like a great person, a great individual, and I wish him well, and I hope things work out for him. I want to go quickly to this cut from, speaking of Goofy, quarterback for the Bears, Justin Fields, had this to say about the upcoming game against the Packers this weekend.
You know, their home field, I know their fans are going to be loud because there's not much to do in Green Bay except watch football, but it's going to be a great environment for us to play in, and you know, hopefully have a great game and get the dub on Sunday. So
now wait a minute. We just did a show up with Mino and the mayor, a great morning team up there at Green Bay, WGBW. There's a lot to do in Green Bay. It is a fantastic city. Brady, what is up with Justin Fields talking smack when the Bears are already on the playoffs? What is up?
Yeah, and honestly, that sentiment is pretty much universal throughout the NFL.
Really?
So as you look at guys that are, you know, in free agency or when you get drafted, I wouldn't say it's a negative, because Green Bay has historically been very, very good, and they have a long-standing history. But, you know, that's kind of the sentiment when you compare, you know, say in Atlanta, where you're close to a big, you know, city like Atlanta with, you know, a lot of suburbs and areas to do things and activities, compared to a lot of other places, you know, Vegas or wherever. Green Bay, people kind of call it a sleepy town where there's not much to do. So unfortunately.
Unfair.
That's kind of the sentiment in the NFL.
Well,
amongst the players. Anyway.
But I got that, you know, and then, I mean, you're a little too young, but I remember when Reggie White made the decision to go from Philadelphia to Green Bay, and that really was the point where Green Bay went from a laughing stock to, hey, you could do something. Then Brett Favre came there, and then away you went. And I mean, it's obviously been a place where people can win under the right circumstances, but very interesting from someone who's been in the NFL like yourself, that there is that kind of reputation out there. But by golly, one thing you can't do in Atlanta is snare squirrels. So, I mean, there.
Hey, way to come full circle.
Right? Right? Got about a minute left, Brady. Big game this weekend against the Bears. The Packers, if they win, they're in the playoffs. And right now, the way it sets up, if the Packers are in, they would play their first game at Dallas. How about that?
Wow.
So, Packers win? Quickly, Brady, what's your prediction?
I think so. Home game win. I'm going to go 21-17.
21-17 pack over the Bears. Love it. Love you, Brady Ewing. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great afternoon.
Appreciate it.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour.